الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we resume our studies this evening of the work by الحافظ عبد الغني ابن عبد الواحد المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى who died in the year 600 after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his work entitled Al-Umdah fi al-Ahkam. Al-Umdah fi al-Ahkam. He's referring to the foundation, the fundamentals of the rulings, the legislation of al-Islam with regards to the actions and the deeds and the sacred rights of al-Islam. And it is a book of narrations and a book of a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged according to the chapters of al-fiqh, yani murattabun ala al-abwab al-fiqhiyya, similar to the works that are known as sunan, in the same order that the work is arranged. And it has proceeded, alhamdulillah, we have completed the first fourth of this work, which was the portion with regards to al-ibadat. And the scholars of fiqh, the fuqaha, in their works of jurisprudence and writing the likes of these works, whether it's from the aspect of mentioning the fiqh directly or from the aspect of deriving that from the narrations, the arrangement of the chapter titles are always similar with regards to al-abwab al-fiqhiyya. Al-Abwab al-Fiqhiyya. So the people of knowledge, they will begin with the ibadat, qism al-ibadat, because the human being, he was created for that purpose, the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So you'll find that the likes of these works, whether they are kutub al-fiqh or kutub al-ahkam al-fiqhiyya, whether they're the books of jurisprudence or the books with regards to the narrations clarifying the rulings of jurisprudence, like that which we have here, they will begin in this manner, with the ibadat, beginning with the chapter of tahara, because the purpose is to begin with salah. But at-tahara miftahu as-salah, tahara and the purification is the key to the prayer, from the greatest condition for the acceptance of the salah. So they'll begin with the tahara for this manner. Then after that, they will follow with the book of as-salah. And then after that, qarinatu as-salati fi kitabillahi az-zakat, that which is coupled and mentioned and paired very often in the book of Allah with the salah is the zakat. So they'll follow in line after the book of as-salah, the book of az-zakat. And then after that, the book of as-siyam, and followed by the book of al-Hajj, yani with regards to the pillars of al-Islam. The pillars of al-Islam, meaning the actions of al-Islam. The actions of al-Islam. And the fuqaha, they will consider this the first fourth. The first fourth. And they divide the chapters of fiqh into four fourths, and into four parts. They call them arba, yani yuqassimuna abwab al-fiqh ila arba'ati arba'. They will divide the chapters of fiqh into four fourths. And the first fourth, al-ruba' al-awwal al-ibadat. This is what has preceded. The first fourth is with regards to the rites of worship. The rites of worship. At the head of them, the pillars of al-Islam. The pillars of al-Islam. Any of the actions, the salah and the zakat and the sawm and the hajj. The salah and the zakah and the sawm and the hajj. But they begin with tahara because it's the key to entering into the salah. Entering into the salah. This is the first fourth. And the second fourth, al-ruba' al-thani, al-mu'amalat. Al-mu'amalat, dealings, buying and selling and transactions. Kitab al-buyu'. This is what we're entering into now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the second fourth, or the second part of the four parts of the chapters of fiqh, is what is known as al-mu'amalat, or al-buyu', any transactions, dealings, buying and selling and the likes. And this is because after establishing the rights of Al-Islam and fulfilling one's purpose in life and worshipping Allah in the manner prescribed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to truly establish that a person, he needs provision. He needs provision, he needs sustenance. And it's not possible to get what he needs except from buying and trading, because many times what he's looking for is in the hands of others, and what others are looking for is in his hands. So therefore, the means to obtain this livelihood and to find strength physically to establish these rights, the rights of Al-Islam, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, he needs money, and a person, he needs provision, and he needs food and drink, and he needs clothing and housing. So these affairs are mentioned next many times in this order like this, Al-Ibadat, and then after that, Al-Mu'amalat. Al-Mu'amalat, buying and trading and selling and commerce, business, getting money and the likes, getting money and the likes. And then the Ar-Ruba' Al-Thalith, the third, fourth, or the third part from the four parts of the chapters of Fiqh, the people of knowledge, they mentioned Ruba' Al-Ankiha, the portion with regards to marriage. The portion with regards to marriage, and included along in that chapter as well that which comes along with that, the issues of divorce and the issues of qura and the affairs that are related to the rights of marriage. And this is also a very suitable arrangement, because after a person, he establishes the right of Allah, and then also he is going through the land and earning a living. Now he is financially capable and strong and healthy. Now he will start looking to get married and to start a family, and to start a family. So it's very suitable to mention these chapters in this order. Although sometimes you will find some of the fuqaha that will prefer the ankiha before the buyur. They'll put the chapter of marriage and divorce before the chapters of buying and selling. But generally it comes in this order. Al-ibadat, al-mu'amalat, and then al-ankiha. Al-ankiha, marriage and divorce. And then Ar-Ruba' Ar-Rabi', the fourth. And the last part of those four parts of the chapters of Fiqh, the people of knowledge, they mention Al-Jinayat wal-Aqdiyah. Al-Jinayat, Ruba' Al-Jinayat wal-Aqdiyah. The portion with regards to the criminal punishments and judgments and rulings made amongst the people. Any judgments, courts. Judgments related to the court affairs, legal punishments and judgments related to the court affairs. Because some people, maybe they will violate rights in those buying and trading. Some people, they'll violate rights in buying and trading, or they'll violate rights in marriage and divorce, or so on and so forth, or they'll violate the rights of Al-Islam. And Islam is an encompassing religion, including all aspects of life, the aspect with regards to the relationship between the human being and his creator, and likewise with regards to the rest of the people. With regards to the rest of the people, those who are upright from them, and likewise those who have fallen astray and deviated into wickedness and evil and transgression and misguidance. So there are regulations and rules and guidelines to abide by that was revealed from above the heavens to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is found in the Quran and in the Sunnah. No doubt the foundation of the religion is the Aqidah, but the people of knowledge, they author their works in this manner. They author their works in this manner to facilitate learning. So they have works that are authored about the subject of Aqidah specifically, and studying the Shahada, and the meaning of the Shahada, and the conditions of the Shahada, and the regulations and limits of the Shahada, and that which will invalidate the Shahada, and that which will weaken and bring deficiency to the Shahada, and the issues of Aqidah, and believing in Allah in the last day, and also the pillars of faith, so on and so forth. You study these affairs and the science of At-Tawheed, and the science of Aqidah, and the science of Al-Iman, and the likes like this. And then to facilitate also what he must learn, how to implement that faith and that creed and that belief and application. So the people of knowledge, the author works about al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, clarifying the legislative rulings. There's two methodologies. The methodology from the aspect of fiqh and the fuqaha, they will write the chapters and then they will write the rulings and mention them. Sometimes they will couple that mention with evidences and sometimes they will not. And then the other aspect from that is the aspect of al-hadith. And this is the methodology that the author he has chosen here, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, and he has written this work here to clarify these rulings and these aspects of fiqh from the rulings of jurisprudence by mentioning chapter titles related to each subject, and then after that, narrations from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the rulings are derived from these narrations. And some of the students, they asked, which one is better to study, the way of the fuqaha or the way of the muhaddithin, to study the books of fiqh or to study the books of hadith? And in reality, a student of knowledge and one who wants to truly gain an understanding in his religion and have insight, he's in need of both of them. لا يستغني عن أحدهما. He is in need of both aspects. So he will study, no doubt, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also before that, there are ayat in the book of Allah that are known as ayat al-ahkam. Ayat al-ahkam, the verses with regards to the legislative rulings. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned there are around 700, some said more or less, and the likes like this. Ayat in the book of Allah specific to the legislative rulings and the sacred rights in performing the actions of al-Islam. So no doubt a student of knowledge and a Muslim in general is in need to study these affairs, but also is facilitated when studying the books of fiqh, because the people of knowledge, they have summarized these affairs and arranged them in a beautiful manner and have derived the rulings from those evidences that could be difficult for a student in the beginning to understand the aspect of evidence whenever he's reading a particular narration. So as has proceeded in our studies of this work, we gather between both aspects. And this is the intent from the likes of this work, is to have fiqh in the deen. نتفقه في ديننا من خلال قراءة الأحاديث أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We seek to gain an understanding in our religion by reading the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that which helps us to understand these rulings and the proper intent from the guidance found in these narrations is by benefiting from the statements of the scholars, from the salaf of this ummah specifically, and those who are upon their way. So alhamdulillah, we had finished Qism al-Ibadat, which includes Kitab al-Tahara, Kitab al-Sara, Kitab al-Zakah, Kitab al-Siyam, and Kitab al-Hajj, Now we begin this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the second fourth of these different chapters with regards to the fiqh, the second fourth of this particular work, which is Kitab al-Buyur. And it's very important to study the chapter of al-Buyur. Al-Buyur means transaction, buying and selling, commerce. Kitab al-Buyur, the chapter or the book of buying and selling, the book of business and trading, the book of commerce. It's of utmost importance to learn these affairs because there are limits and there are rulings and regulations with regards to buying and selling. And if a person is not careful, he can fall into that which is impermissible very easily by buying and selling. Not to mention the fact that the soul and the heart is attached to money and has a lust for wealth and property and the likes from the glitter and the adornment of this life. And a person, if he does not have knowledge, and then along with that, he does not have strong determination to seek the pleasure of Allah, he can be misled. The dollar can lead him astray. And the love for wealth and property can be a means for him to be misguided. This is from the Shahawat. So a believer, he has to learn these rulings because no doubt he has to buy and he has to sell, especially if he's going to get involved in these affairs. Especially if he himself is going to be a businessman, he's going to do some type of business. He's going to partake in trading or whatever aspect that may be. He's going to have to learn these affairs. It has been collected by Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his jami' with his chain to Umar, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, لا يبيع في سوقنا إلا من قد تفقه في الدين. That no one should sell
No one should sell in our markets except for someone who has sought understanding in the religion. لا يبيع. This is a prohibition. لا ناهية. This is a prohibition. لا ناهية. لا يبيع في سوقنا إلا من قد تفقه في الدين. No one should sell in our markets. No one should sell in our markets except for the one who has gained the understanding in the religion. The people of knowledge, they mention what he's referring to here is understanding of buying and trading specifically, the issue that he's involved in. So we all know the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, which is collected by al-Imam ibn Majah, by Imam ibn Majah rahimahullah in his Sunan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. We have taken classes with regards to this narration specifically previously, and we have seen that from the aspects of that is that if a person is going to get involved in something, that the knowledge of that thing that he's going to get involved in now becomes an obligation. There are some things that are an obligation upon every sound person of age, upon every sound person of age, that they must learn from the affairs of creed and from the affairs of methodology and establishing the rites of al-Islam and the obligations of one day and one night. This is incumbent upon all of the believers. But then there are other rights likewise that are not necessarily incumbent upon everybody until they intend to get involved in that. So it's not necessarily an obligation for every individual to learn all the details of Hajj. But if he's going to intend to perform that pilgrimage, now he has to learn. And it's not necessarily an obligation upon every Muslim to learn the details of Umrah. But if he's going to make Umrah, now it becomes an obligation for him to learn those rites, so he can establish it upon knowledge and insight. And it's not a necessary obligation for every Muslim to learn the laws of transaction and the likes like this, buying and selling. But if he's going to get involved in that now, he must learn. Or the laws of medicine and the likes like this, the issues related to medicine and the practice of medicine, these affairs. But if one is going to get involved in that science or involved in that field, now it becomes an incumbent obligation for him to learn that which is lawful for him and that which is not. So if a person is going to get involved in buying and trading, then he has to learn that which is lawful. And in general, every person is in need of buying and trading at some time in his life to some certain degree. So it's a great obligation to learn these affairs, and even more emphasized on someone who is actually himself going to be a businessman. Somebody who himself is actually going to be a businessman. But in general, it's incumbent for the believers to learn, so that way can earn a living. They themselves can earn a living, or they can buy and trade in a manner that is lawful and not fall into that which is impermissible. Because by falling into that which is impermissible, a person is exposing his religion and his relationship with his Lord to blame. And likewise, he's exposing his honor and reputation to blame. Yani now he's putting his soul, he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah, and likewise to the blame of the people by falling into that which is impermissible and haram. And the religion becomes weak, and his faith becomes weak, and he will be overcome by desires many times if a person is not careful. It's been narrated from Muhammad ibn al-Hassan rahimahullah al-Shaybani. He's from the great students of Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah. He died in the year 189. One of the students, they said to him, "Ala tusannifu lana kitaban fi zuhd?" They said to him, "Why don't you write for us a book? Why don't you author for us a book in zuhd?" In zuhd, it means to abstain from the worldly life. And abstaining from the worldly life, to fear Allah and to abstain from the worldly life and to devote oneself to the hereafter. But the people of knowledge, I have mentioned a beautiful, brief, concise definition of the word zuhd, and they say, تَرْكُ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, to leave off that which will not benefit someone in the hereafter. So they're asking him to write a book about zuhd, any about things that will help them to strive to seek the pleasure of Allah and the home in the hereafter, so they could avoid anything that would not benefit them in their hereafter. So this is what they're asking for. In his response, he said, رَحِيمُهُ ta'ala, قَدْ صَنَّفْتُ كِتَابٍ فِي الْبُيُورِ. He said, I have already written a book in buying and trading. I've already authored a work about buying and trading. Any indication that from the greatest aspects of zuhd and piety in fear of Allah and being cautious from falling into anything that will harm our persons hereafter is the issue of buying and trading. Is the issue of buying and trading, because a person, and he, as I mentioned before, many times his love for the dollar will overcome him, and he will put his money where he's not supposed to, or he'll get his money from where it's not lawful, or he will get his money from where it is not lawful. And the money that is not lawful, it will corrupt the heart and it will destroy a person's life. Waliyadhu billah. And this is from the steps of the devil. Also, it has been mentioned as well that in the previous generations, and in the early days of al-Islam especially, like in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and after that, in the time of the of those best generations, that they would have individuals that they are people of al-hisbah, and they're called muhtasibun. And the muhtasib, he is somebody who his function, and he works for the Muslim ruler under the Muslim government, and he is the one who orders the good and forbids the evil. This is what he does, like policeman, for example. But he is ordering the good and forbidding the evil. And it's mentioned that in the early days, they would have individuals working in al-hisbah, and they would go into the markets and they would test. They would test the workers in the market. They would test the businessmen, and they would ask them about issues in halal and haram. And if one of them did not understand the issues or know the answers properly, then he would be removed from the market. He will be removed from the market. He will not be allowed to buy and sell there, because now he's exposing the market and the money of the Muslims and the religion of the Muslims to being violated, and for the haram to enter into the markets and to enter into the lives of the believers. So this is something that the Salaf, they used to take very seriously. Even Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah, he died in the year 187. He mentioned about Ahl-Sunnah. Ahl-Sunnah, man ya'lamu ma yadkhulu min ba'dni, fi ba'dnihi min halal. Ahl-Sunnah, man ya'lamu, or man ya'rifu ma yadkhulu fi ba'dnihi min halal. Meaning that the people, a person of the Sunnah, he is the one who knows what goes into his stomach from halal. And Ibn Rajab, he mentioned this in his work Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. And he mentioned after that, that this is from the greatest attributes and characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, that they used to be very diligent to eat only that which is lawful. Until they considered this is a great aspect of the Sunnah. A great aspect of the Sunnah and the religion of al-Islam and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that a person, he will eat that which is lawful. He will eat from that which is lawful. And he will earn a living from that which is lawful. So these affairs are of utmost importance. To have a basic and general understanding, and to at least read the likes of these chapters one time and go over them until a person he has a good idea of that which is lawful and that which is not lawful, and the realities of these affairs. And then if he's going to get involved in these issues, then to seek greater guidance and to strive harder to learn these rulings in order to be upon clarity in his dealings, so that he can eat that which is lawful upon insight, so that he can eat that which is lawful and provide for his family from that which is lawful upon insight, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as has proceeded in a number of our previous classes, because some of these chapters are chapters that are not studied often in detail, we'll mention an introduction before even beginning reading these narrations. We'll take a brief introduction, clarifying some definitions, the definition of al-buyu' and some important aspects with regards to buyu' from the conditions, so on and so forth, before we begin reading. These are benefits that are collected from a number of different works, from the works of the fuqaha, and you will find these issues mentioned in the works like Al-Mughni, and also in Zad al-Mustaqna', and also in Dalil al-Talib, and the explanations for the likes of these works, or the commentaries on these works, so on and so forth, and works like this. So the author, he begins this chapter, he says, Kitabu al-Buyu'. The book of buying and selling. So the people of knowledge, they mention al-buyu' jam'u al-bay'. Al-buyu' jam'u al-bay'. That the word al-buyu', we're studying the book of al-buyu', and this is the plural of bay'. Bay', and bay', it means selling. It means selling. It means trading. It means selling. It means trading. It means business. The chapter of business. The chapter of trading. The chapter of commerce. The chapter of buying and selling. The chapter of buying and selling. All of this is yani intended here. So we have the chapter of trading, or the chapter of business and commerce. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that bay is a master. Wa inna majumi'a huna li ikhtilafi anwa'ihi. That is, it's mentioned in the plural form here because of the many different types. Because of the many different types. There are different types of business transactions. There are different types of dealings and trading and buying and selling. There are different types. So the verb is ba'a yabi'u. Ba'a yabi'u. You say ba'ahu yabi'uhu. Bi'hu. Bay'an. Bay'an. Ba'ahu, he sold it. But also this word, it means he bought it as well. He sold it, he bought it. And this is from those words in the Arabic language. They're known as al-aldad. Al-aldad, they're opposites. Sometimes there's one word in the Arabic language and it means one thing and it also means the opposite of that. One word, it means one thing and also it means the opposite of that same thing. Subhanallah. One word, it means one thing. For example, the word ba'a, it means he sold and it also means he bought. He sold and it means he bought as well. And this is from the specific traits of the Arabic language. So you say ba'ahu yabi'uhu bi'hu bay'an wa mabi'an. Bay'an wa mabi'an. And he sold it to sell something. And lughatan, linguistically, akhdhu shay' wa ata'u shay'an akhar. To take something and give something else. This is what it means linguistically. This verb and this word al-bay', it means to take something and give something else. And also in the Arabic language, there's something called al-ba', al-ba'u. And it is whenever a person, he sticks his hands out. It's from the types of measurements. In the Arabic language, we have different types of measurements. We have what is called a shibr. A shibr is from the pinky. When you open your hand, you open your hand like this, from your pinky to your thumb. This is called a shibr. This is a means of measuring distance. They might measure the qimash. What is material and the likes like this? They'll measure material and the likes like this with the shibr, huh? With the shibr. This is a shibr. When you open your hand, like you open your five fingers like this, from your pinky to your thumb, from the tip of your pinky to your thumb, this is called a shibr. It came in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, huh? La tattabi'unna sanana man kana qablakum shibran bi shibrin. Hand span by hand span. You're gonna follow those before you, hand span by hand span. Meaning little by little, directly, little by little precisely. Then after that you have also what's called dhira'. Dhira'. So the dhira', yani linguistically, the dhira' is this part of your arm. This part of your arm, your dhira', your forearm. Yeah, from the elbow to the wrist, huh? This is your dhira'. You have the yad, you have the kef, and you have the asabi, you have the dhira'. And this is the mirfaq. And this is the dhira', this is the sa'id. The sa'id. Huh? But the dhira' here is your forearm. Is your forearm. But here in the measuring, the dhira' is from the finger to the elbow. From the finger to the elbow. Generally they say it's 2 shibr. From the finger to the elbow. So they'll measure like this, from the finger to the elbow. They have another one whenever you stick out your hands like this, from one finger to the X. You stick your hands out, like you're going to give somebody a big hug. You're going to grab. This is called the ba'. This is called the ba'. When you stick your hand out like this, this is your ba'. How far you can stick your hand out. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that bay is called this, any from this idea. Because whenever they're going to do a transaction, they will stick their hands out. One of them will stick his hand out to give, and the other one will stick his hand out to accept. Or they'll take their hands out also to shake hands any on upon the agreement. So yani yamuddu ba'ahu. He will stick out his ba', any stretching his arm. Stretching his arm. So from this meaning also, giving something and taking something has this same understanding. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention as well, yani in the Arabic language, they would say فُلَانٌ لَهُ طُولُ الْبَعْ. فُلَانٌ لَهُ طُولُ الْبَعْ. مَثَلًا فِي عِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ أو فِي عِلْمِ التَّفْسِيرِ. فُلَانٌ لَهُ طُولُ الْبَعْ. Person, he has a long back. person, he has a long ba', a long ba' in the science of hadith. Shaykh so-and-so, he has a long ba' in the science of hadith. Or so-and-so, he has a long ba' in the science of tafsir, for example. But what do they mean by tul al-ba'? Meaning because whenever you have tul ba', when your ba' is long, meaning that you can stretch out your hand and you can grab a whole lot of things. Like this. So some of they'll say that as an expression. Meaning that this person, he has acquired a vast amount of knowledge in the science. A vast amount of knowledge in the science. So فُلَانُ لَهُ طُولُ الْبَعْ فِي هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. So and so, he has a long ba' in that knowledge, meaning he has acquired a great amount of that knowledge. Because if your ba' is qasir, like this, huh? If his ba' is short, he can only get a little bit, right? How much can you get? It's not too long, huh? Inshallah, it's going to get bigger. But whenever you have a wide chest, huh, and long arms, you can grab a lot. So this is what it means here. This is an expression in the Arabic language. This is an expression in the Arabic language. فَإِذَا حَصَلْتُ مِنْهُ بِطُولِ بَاعٍ وَقَالَ النَّاسُ إِنَّكَ قَدْ سَبَكْتَ فَلَا تَأْمَنْ سُؤَالَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ عَلِمْتَ فَهَلْ عَمِلْتَ بِمَا عَلِمْتَ. That's in the ta'iyah of Abi Ishaq al-Ibiri. Yeah, ahsanta, ahsanta. And this is where we learned that expression from. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So in any case, this is the word al-bay'. Kitabul buyu'. Kitabul buyu'. So what is intended here is buying and selling and transaction. So this is the linguistic meaning. This is the linguistic meaning. يقال باع كذا يعني دفع شيئا وأخذ عوضا عنه. باع كذا يعني دفع شيئا وأخذ عوضا عنه. If you sold something, I mean you gave somebody something and you took something in its place as exchange. As exchange. So this is the meaning likewise. This is the meaning likewise. So we see here that البيع ضد الشراء. البيع ضد الشراء. That bay is the opposite of ashira. Ashira. As we have studied in our previous classes in this work, in those previous chapters, every chapter in the books of fiqh, there's mustalahat. There are words and terms that we have to understand. And no doubt we're going to translate these issues and speak in English, but there are certain terminologies that we all have to understand and agree upon and know what they mean. And know what they mean. So in every chapter, we're learning vocabulary. Remember this affair? Every chapter, we're learning vocabulary. In the chapter of Salat, we learn vocabulary related to Salat. Al-Masbuq, wal-Ma'mum, wal-Imam, wal-Munfarid. You remember those terms? You remember those terms? Huh? You forgot those terms? Allahumma stan. Those are terms specific to the chapter of Salat. Now we're in the chapter of al-Buyu'. So likewise, there is terminology that we have to be aware of. There's terminology and words and vocabulary and the likes like this we have to be aware of. So we're going to spend our time, inshallah, learning these details. Al-bay' ضدُ الشِّرَاءِ. الشِّرَاءِ. Al-bay' is the opposite of shira'. So you say ba'ahu wa sharahu or ishtarahu. And you like this. So to sell something is called bay', and the opposite of that is shira', to buy something. To buy something. But these words are an al-dad. So sometimes the word bay it means shira, and sometimes the word shira it means bay. But in general, the word bay it means selling, and the word shira it means buying. But there, in some context, one could be used in the place of the other. One could be used in the place of the other. And bay is used to refer to shira, and shira is used to refer to bay. And sometimes you'll say bay, and what you mean is buying. You don't mean selling. Sometimes you'll say shira, and what you mean is selling. And you don't mean buying. The opposite. The opposite. This is from the Arabic language. But there's a beautiful principle, likewise, that help us understand these affairs. سياق الجملة يحدد معاني الألفاظ. سياق الجملة يحدد معاني الألفاظ. That the context of the sentence will determine the meaning of the terms. Will determine the meaning of the terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about Yusuf alayhi salam, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دِرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ شَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. And they found Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, and they considered him to be nothing, and they picked him up out of the well and they sold him. شَرَوْهُ, they sold him. يعني بَعُوهُ, يعني باعو. So here the word شرا is being used in the book of Allah, which is the speech of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is intended by the word شرا here is البيع. شروه وشروه بثمن بخس. They sold him for a measly small price. دراهم معدودة. Just a few دراهم. They sold him. He's the prophet of Allah. عليه الصلاة والسلام. وكانوا فيه من الزاهدين. And they did not even care about him or have any concern for him. So they sold him like this. The point is that the word شرو is from الشراء. And الشراء here is being used to mean البيع. سبحان الله. It's being used to mean البيع. But generally, whenever the word بيع comes, what is referred to is selling. And the word شراء, what is used to refer to buying. This is the general principle. And likewise, the word البائع. البائع اسم فاعل من البيع. He's the one who's selling. But sometimes it could mean the buyer. And the مشتري. The مشتري. The مشتري is the one buying. Is the one buying. So البائع, this is the one who is selling something. And المشتري, this is the one who is purchasing something, the one who is buying something. This is the general understanding. These terms are going to come. These terms are going to come. We're going to be talking about البائع والمشتري, because this is how transactions go down. There's someone who is selling something, and there's someone who is buying something. There's someone who is selling something, and there's someone who is buying something. So we must have an understanding of these terms. We must have an understanding of these terms. As has proceeded, in order to establish the rights of al-Islam, we have to have provision, we have to have clothing, we have to have residence, we have to have these affairs, and many times these are not found in our hands. Rather, we have to get them from others. They're in the possession of others. So the legislation of buying and selling has been established in order to seek provision in a manner that is lawful, in a manner that will not be considered oppression or violating the rights of others or taking advantage of others and the likes like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رِزْقًا وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that you should seek your provision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him and show thanks to Him. So Allah is ordering in this verse to strive to seek provision and also to worship Him alone. So the aim and the goal and the purpose of the creation is to worship Allah alone. But Allah as well has ordered us to strive to seek provision. So therefore there are limits with regards to this. And one, he will not truly be able to establish the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, to establish the deen in his life, except with provision, except with finances, except with money, except with food, except with a home, except with clothing, except with the vehicle. All of his needs, they must be met. فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَرِزْقَ وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Seek your provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him and show thanks to Him. And show thanks to Him. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled the mention of these affairs as well in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and in the mention of establishing the right of Allah and also seeking provision. وَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. That whenever the salat is finished and completed, then go out through the earth and seek the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You need to go out through the land and work to earn a living. To work to earn a living. And buying and selling is one of the aspects of seeking provision. So seeking provision occurs in a number of ways. From the best way to seek provision and from the best earnings a man can obtain is the earnings that are made through business. Their business. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-kasb, yani al-kasb, to earn a living, al-iktisab, to earn a living in general, is in three manners. Yani earning a living with one's hands, yani a person he working himself. And they mentioned as-sina'ah, wa-zira'ah, wa-tijara. As-sina'ah, wa-zira'ah, wa-tijara. And this is any working with one's hands. It's come in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Al-Makdam ibn Ma'di Kariba radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَأَكَلَ أَحَدٌ طَعَامٍ قَطْ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. That no one has eaten food better ever, that no one has eaten food ever better than that which he has eaten from the work of his own hand. From the work of his own hand. وَإِنَّ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ دَاوُدَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ كَانَ يَأْكُلُ min amali yadihi. And the Prophet of Allah, Dawood alayhi salam, he used to eat from that which he earned with his own hand. From that which he earned with his own hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise, he mentioned in his book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum wa mimma akhrajna lakum min al-ard. Allah, he says in his book, O you who believe, spend of the good things which you have legally earned and of that which we have produced from the earth for you. So we're ordered here to spend in charity. Whenever you give in charity, the obligatory charity or the non-obligatory charity, and tunfiq min tayyibati ma kasabt, and that you spend from the good of that which you have earned. You don't spend from the worst of that, or that which is haram or forbidden, or that which is low or low quality. Rather, you spend from the good of what you have earned, the lawful of what you have earned. A number of the people of knowledge, they mention al-tiyabu al-kasbu tijara, that the best earnings is from business. The best earnings is from business. This is the best, is from the best means to work. And the best money that one he would earn with the work of his own hands is the money that is earned in business. Although there are many other ways, as has preceded, as-sina'a, by manufacturing, and also by zira'a, yani by agriculture. This is a great means of livelihood and striving and working with one's hands to make a living. And many times the farmers, they're very wealthy. But likewise, from the best, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, the best means of earning a living with one's hands is by business and trade. By business is trade, especially if a person, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has knowledge, and he's clever, and he's able to flip the product. And the likes like this, and he works hard, he will find great provision and goodness in his efforts. It's been collected by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Rafi' bin Khadij, radiyallahu anhu, that he says, it was mentioned, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْكَسْبِ أَلْطِيَبُ, which earnings is best? Which is the best earnings? What earnings is best? يعني أطيب. قال عمل رجل بيده وكل بيع مبرور. The best earnings that a person he can obtain is that which a man he earns with his own hands. That which a man he earns with his own hands, and every righteous transaction, and in every righteous transaction, is indication here, and these evidences that there is al-kasb al-tayyib, and there is al-kasb al-khabith. There's the good earnings that are lawful, that are wholesome, that are beneficial for a person in this life and the hereafter. And there are foul earnings that are not lawful, and they're not wholesome, and they're not beneficial for a person in this life nor in the hereafter. And then likewise, from the kasb al-tayyib, there is that which is tayyib and that which is al-tayyib. There's levels. There are the earnings that are good, and there are earnings that are better. There are earnings that are good, and there are earnings that are better. So here in this narration, the best earnings is the one that one earns with his own hands, and every righteous and pious business transaction. And business transaction is from the earnings of one's own hand. So by mentioning this specific aspect after the general aspect is indication of the virtue of buying and selling. Whenever it is considered mabrur, whenever it's considered mabrur, and whenever it's considered righteous, whenever it's considered lawful, whenever it's considered good, the buying and selling that is considered righteous and that is considered good is the one that's free from al-khiyana. It has no treachery in it, and it's free from al-kadhib, and it has no lying in it, and it's free from ghish, and it has no trickery in it, deception, and it's free from kitman. And kitman is from concealing the problems and the issues. It's free from these affairs. There's no khiyana, there's no ghish, there's no kadhib, but there's no kitman. And it's free from kulli mukhalafa lish-sharia. And it's free from everything that's contrary to the sharia. If the buying and trading is in this manner, it's all good. It's all good. This is from the best means of earning a living. There was a great companion who was very experienced in buying and selling. Who was that? Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, is from the Mubashirin bil Jannah. Whenever he moved to Al-Madina, he migrated with the Muhajirin, left his family and his property behind. They came fuqara, they came poor, destitute, they had nothing. And whenever some of the companions, they went to give him part of their wealth and to help him out, he said, no, he said, dulani ala souq. Duluni ala souq, just show me where the market is. Show me where where the market is. And because he knows how to make money, he said, just show me where the market is. And he will take a little bit and turn it into a lot by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the money that multiplies the most, and he generally is in business. A person, if he's clever and he's wise and he knows how to use any of these circumstances to his advantage and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, he can turn a dollar into 10. Or more than that, alhamdulillah, and it's all lawful for him, it's all good, so long as he has knowledge, so long as he has insight and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he strives to seek the pleasure of Allah, then many times he'll be given success and Allah will bless his wealth. Allah will bless his wealth. Again, al-bay al-mabrur, al-sarim, min al-ghish, wal-kadhib, wal-khiyana, wal-kitman, wa min kulli mukhalifa bil-shari'ah al-mutahara. That it is a type of transaction that is free from trickery and deception and treachery, betrayal, and from concealing the true reality, and from lying, and from everything that's contrary to the sunnah. So inshallah, in our class tomorrow, we begin studying these affairs with the definition of al-bay istilahan, the definition of bay al-istilahan. Then we move on after that to the conditions of bay. And then after that, we will begin reading the narrations, inshallah. We have a good understanding of these chapters in general to benefit, inshallah ta'ala. And if there's any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them while we're waiting for the iqamah. Yes.
Can you say is free from treachery, lying?
Treachery or betrayal. Treachery and betrayal is similar, and lying, and ghish, trickery, deception, and kitman. Kitman is concealing the true reality, concealing the true reality, not letting the people know, and everything that's contrary to the legislation. And everything that's contrary to the legislation. No. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.